Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
On the line, of course, is Fred Rosen. And he's written a book or two, and he's been around the world.
The old one must be sacrificed.
You used to live with Jeffrey Epstein. You were his lover for a while or something?
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, you know...
Is Fred a 14-year-old girl?
He's 15 now.
I wish I was 15. No, I'll tell you the truth. No, I'm going to lie. I didn't realize until the whole thing started breaking, okay, that I went to the same high school in Brooklyn, Lafayette High School, at the same time that he did, which means, of course, I just admitted my age. But I didn't know him, okay? I didn't know him. And it also happens that we lived in Coney Island at the same time. I always make the joke that my parents were the only ones that bought into the idea of urban renewal. And I lived in Coney at the same time, and thank God I got out of there, and thank God I got out of Brooklyn. But Epstein was not an acquaintance or anything, though I have to go back and take a look at the yearbook and see, you know, if he looks familiar. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes, you know, you guys know what I'm saying. You pass somebody in the hallway and blah, 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 and then years later. But I never in my life thought that, you know, I would have any connection to that piece of you-know-what.
Yeah. Well, you know, what do you think? So murder or suicide?
Well, I was reading just now up on this because I knew we were going to talk about it. I'll just tell you how I feel about it. The forensic evidence seems to show that this was probably a murder. Why? Because first the hyoid bone was broken. Now that is not a common occurrence. You know, that's the bone right next to a man's Adam's apple. That's not a common occurrence. You probably know this, Al, that it's not a common occurrence in suicide. It's a common occurrence when somebody strangles you, you know? And there are other broken bones in his neck. Now, that doesn't mean it's an absolute yet. But you got to say to yourself, wait a second. You got the New York City coroner is not saying what the final cause of death is, or the method of death. That's, you know, as you know, it's two different things.
Well, they said that they were waiting for the FBI investigation before they would release any comments on the cause of death. That's what I heard.
Yeah, well, yeah, but see, to me, that's cover. And, look, I don't, you know, I don't want to get political per se, but I don't trust the FBI. And I think, in fact, the matter is most law enforcement, local law enforcement, don't. And in this particular case, we don't, you know, if this was a murder, then the question comes in, okay, who done it and why? The why is as important. Where does it lead? I mean, I think we can probably rule out Prince Andrew, you know?
Yeah, nobody cares.
but, you know, the president has, oh, God, the guy just implied that the Clintons were behind it. Excuse me? You know, but you know, this is a very, very bad situation, obviously, because we don't know what happened. We don't know where the trail leads. And my response to this is usually what I say is call in the Avengers. You know, let Dr. Bruce Banner investigate, you know, and if you get him angry, you'll see what will happen. So, seriously, this is a very, very bad situation. And guess what, guys? We're paying for it. You know, we're going to be paying for the investigation. Though, the other thing is, did you know that Gerald Nadler is looking into his committee?
No.
On the Judiciary Committee?
Yeah, the Judiciary Committee. That's it. You know, that's what he says. You know, and I, you know, I'm going to take him at his word that they're going to look into it. And I will also tell you honestly, no, I'm going to lie, that
This is the most fantastic story I've ever heard.
And every word of it's true, too.
That's the fantastic part of it.
I volunteered my services to my congresswoman to investigate this. Her name is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm sure you've heard of her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of hers, but nevertheless, I said to myself, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice if you put some independent people on this who aren't connected to anybody? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still a president. Who wants to have a president who's involved in... Well, he is involved, isn't he?
A little late for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little late, right? Yeah, it is a little late. I mean, you know, this is... You know, out of all the murder cases that have broken, certainly in the last couple of years, this one is... This is a really troubling one. At least to me, you know, to me it is.
They need to find out what happened. I mean, it's stunning. Every day you hear something like, "Well, one of the guards wasn't actually a guard," and then the next day you hear, "Well, the guards were asleep." You know, it's then there's shrieking coming from his cell, and you know, I heard something yesterday that they apparently thought he was alive when they found him, and somebody was shouting "breathe" to him and stuff. So.
Right.
It's really puzzling.
Maybe he was trying to have sex while he was hanging himself.
Well, it's funny you should say that.
Oh, no.
It's funny I should say that. Well, what? Maybe one of that auto affects you, you know?
Actually, not so much, but we know a very famous actor who hung himself because he was trying to have an orgasm.
Carradine.
And, you know, that's actually an interesting, theory. But again, the problem is, forensically, we don't know. Now, it happens that I'm doing another cruise called the Death, you can't make this stuff up, guys, Death Investigations Cruise. My friend Jim Seeley, who is the cruise operator, asked me to go on it, and there's a guy named Graham Hetrick, who is a celebrity coroner on IG. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If and this is in September, so, you know, I will certainly talk to him about this. I have a couple of other cases I'm going to be talking to him about. I'm going to be talking to him about Natalie Wood, because mm-hmm. I'm actually going on a Child Stars cruise. We're going to Catalina Island, which I've never been to, even though I went to school in L.A., and we're going to be taken to the spot off of the island where her body was found. And I always find that when I go to the scene of the crime, so to speak, it really helps me to understand things. And so I don't know if there's any way to solve it per se in terms of getting charges against someone.
Oh,
but
yeah.
One thing I will tell you is that I am going to do that. And if I think there's something there, I will try to go to RJ, Robert Wagner, his nickname is RJ, and I will try to go to Chris Walken, who lives on Block Island off the coast of Rhode Island. Doesn't mean they'll talk to me, but I certainly will try to do it if I feel like there's something there, and I'll certainly talk to the L.A. Sheriff's Department and see what they say, and, of course, the prosecutor. But we'll see, you know.
Have you talked to Lana Wood?
Yes, sir. I have spoken to Lana Wood. And I spoke to her. I've emailed with her a lot. And, of course, Lana feels that RJ is responsible.
Right.
And we wanted... You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but, she, you know, in addition to her sister being a child star, she was a child star.
Yeah, I know. I was impressed. We had her on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Then there's nothing I can say. but I will say that we tried to get her to come to the hotel the night before, because one of the things we're going to be doing on the cruise, is the Child Stars cruise, is we will be discussing the case. Paul Peterson, who I mentioned, has an organization called a foundation. It's called the Minor Consideration. He advocates for children in the business. Well, I'm the most naive guy in the world, okay, because I didn't know that the movie industry takes underage girls out of the country to Europe to shoot sex scenes. Which, if you did it in the United States, it's illegal. So, you know, it's just so weird. But in any case, yeah, I spoke to Lana. She's an interesting person. In fact, I'll tell you that when I first got her on the phone, it was one of the few times I was sort of celebrity starstruck, even though it was the phone. And I said to her, I can't believe I'm talking to Plenty O'Toole. You know, from the James Bond film, and she goes, "Fred, I'm Nana now."
Wait a minute. It's Christopher Walken here. I did not throw her off the boat, just so you're aware.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, but you gotta be honest though. I remember when that happened, and now reading about it all these years later, I can't look at Christopher Walken or Robert Wagner the same way anymore. Every time I see them, it's just the first thing that comes to my mind.
I met Christopher Walken here in Vancouver one time. He's an interesting cat.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He
came up to me. I was the concierge at the hotel that he was staying at, and Mike, and my remote is broken. Can you fix my remote? That was the extent of our interaction.
I think my response would have been, "You've got an Academy Award. Why don't you hit it with the Academy Award?"
I wanted to hit him with, "Did you kill Natalie Wood?"
Yeah.
Well. I'm sure that when Lana was on, I'm sure she told you what she told you why they split up originally, right?
Yeah, the other two guys here, they don't know, and probably the audience now doesn't know. That was over a year ago, if you want to go into it.
Well, I don't mind mentioning it because it's coming from her. She what Lana said was that after Natalie married RJ, I think it was like, around 1960, and then they divorced 3 or 4 years later. What Lana said was the reason for the divorce was that she found RJ in bed with a guy. Okay, that's what she said. I have no reason to doubt her. But I think the real point here is, okay, you're being cheated on. Now, look, it's got to be, I assume it's worse, when it's somebody of the same sex, whatever, but that's not the point. The
no,
point
it's better.
Is. Yeah, right, it's probably better now. But here's the thing. Why do you remarry the guy? And I think I know the answer to that. Because being a child star, I think she had very little self-esteem. Mm. That's just the way a lot of these kids are. One of the people involved in the cruise, one of the tour operators, wanted Dawn Wells.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for sure.
She's not a child star, but she was going to be like special guest star. But her manager wanted a separate cabin for himself. Excuse me? I understand she was big then.
Well, is the cruise more than a 3-hour tour? Because
I'm a so-called friends with Dawn Wells on Facebook for several years now. And I have to say, she seems like a really sweet lady. She really is very fun and friendly and respectful and courteous. She writes back, and she really appreciates your fans.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you another person you mentioned something really interesting about Facebook. I know this has nothing to do with crime, but I got friendly with Allison Arngrim, who played Nellie on Little House.
Oh, yeah.
And she played Nasty Nellie. And
yeah,
she's
yeah.
going to be appearing at the hotel that we're staying at the night before. She's got a tremendous book called Confessions of a Prairie Bitch.
Yeah. She's gotten a lot of hate over the years.
Oh, yeah. People really... I remember when I was a kid, people really hated her.
Yeah, but you see, that's what's so interesting about actors, that exactly what you're saying, which is when you feel that kind of emotion toward an actor, I think what that is about is they get some humanity into the character, and that humanity is who they are as a person. And she has been the nicest person to deal with. That's what's so nice about doing this particular job, which is, isn't it nice when you're dealing with nice people and you get paid for it?
That's pretty
cool. And hell, maybe I'll solve a murder. I usually stay clear of celebrity murders, but this is Natalie's a different situation.
Are you going to reenact the murder?
No.
Seriously though, has anybody ever done that?
Try
to figure out. Yeah, to see like where how boat was positioned and how she could have gotten from point A to point B. I've read one of the books about it, but I don't think I've ever heard of anything like that.
No.
The one, I think maybe you read the same book as me, Dennis Davern's book, he was the captain.
What?
As far as I know, it's never been, what do you call it? They've never reenacted. And Lana, in an email to me, I was asking her questions about, supposing that she's, we know for a fact from Dennis Davern's testimony that Natalie and RJ were arguing in their cabin. Davern says he came out on deck at some point. RJ's looking in the water and says she's gone. Davern wants to put a searchlight down to find her. RJ stops him, goes up on the bridge, and calls not the Coast Guard. His first call is to his lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So but here's the problem. The problem is they were all drunk. You know, and I don't have to tell you this, Al, you've got to have some direct evidence to get a conviction, and certainly unless Wagner has some sort of conscience, you know, something happens, he's not going to say anything, you know? I think he's 89 years old now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that's when he said, when Fred said, you of all people know that, don't have to tell you, Al. I thought
yeah.
about being drunk on a boat.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
No. Hey, you know what? Maybe you can ask Dawn Wells. She can be the person you reenact with.
Well, you know, what Lana's point was that the, what do you call it, the railing? I mean, Natalie wasn't a big woman. You know, that the railing was such that she couldn't have just gone in suddenly. She was saying it was higher. Okay. And
too high for an accidental fall?
Yes. Yes. That's what she was saying. But I think the other point here is, I'll just mention it. At her encouragement, I got a hold of the autopsy and the toxicology. And it was very enlightening because Natalie had bruises all over her body pre-death. Okay, how did she get the bruises? Duh, you know, how did she get the bruises?
They weren't consistent with a fall.
No, yeah. They were not consistent with a fall. They were very specific about that in the tox. In the autopsy, plus the tox screen, you know, showed she had a lot of booze in her system. But so again, I mean, that messes it up to some extent, you know. But you know, you never know. You know, like I said, maybe I'll see something. You know, I'm not holding my breath, but heck, I'm going to try. You know, and I'll report back.
We'll be waiting.
Yeah, please
I will sleep.
You filthy criminal.
Well, I've got an inside story. Don't know if it's true. That you've got a secret book coming out.
yes, sir. And you've been very helpful without going into details. I have a book coming out. Hopefully it'll be out before the end of the year. We're in final contract negotiations. This is the first time I've spoken about it publicly, but it's been a lifelong dream of mine to write a book about William Barclay Bat Masterson.
Oh, wow.
The Masterson, of course, was he was the sheriff of Dodge City. But what most people don't know is that he came to New York City at the turn of the 20th century and became a crusading reporter. And while he specialized in sports, boxing, he got involved with the most celebrated murder case in New York State, which was termed the Trial of the Century. And it became the basis for Theodore Dreiser's An American Tragedy and later the film A Place in the Sun with Monty Clift and Liz Taylor and Shelley Winters. And Masterson solved it. And so the book is a combination of history and true crime because there's seven murders in it. I mean, you know, there's seven murders in it. And I'm the one who found out, I'm one of the few, as far as I know,
Bat Masterson was an illegal alien from Canada, Mike.
Oh, boy. Again, I'll just say it right now. We're sorry.
No. No, but that's the whole point. No, don't be sorry, because what I discovered when I was researching the book, and it's all there, is this. The United States immigration laws, there's nothing new about immigration laws changing. They change according to whoever the president is. And so when he first came across the border in 1861, it was legal because they wanted people to settle the western frontier. Well, they changed it. And what did Bat do? He, every time, up until I think 1950, there was a question on the census, where are you from? He lied every single time because he knew if he told the truth that he was a Canadian, he would be deported back to a country that he never called home. And the kicker to the story is, and I really hope that the president learns about this, because, hey, I'll be on the bestseller list, because Masterson is on a stamp. So we have a dreamer on a stamp. and that's just cool, you know. And to me, the guy is an example. And it happens that my father was a Polish immigrant. And so I've always been very partial to immigrants. And...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, with everything that's going on today, I said, well, gee, this is relevant. So that's the reason that I wrote the book. And I feel very lucky, because if I'd written it years ago, I never would have found out that he was a dreamer. You know, I never would have found that out. And and by the way, it's funny to me, because even though I've worked in the movie business and I did my degree at USC's film school, I'm always surprised when I find out how many Jews are actors because they change their names. And it turns out that there I was as a kid watching Bat Masterson starring Gene Barry. Guess what? Gene Barry is a Brooklyn Jewish boy whose mm-hmm. real name is Eugene Klass.
Yeah.
Klaas. And he went to the Utrecht High School, which was down the block from Lafayette High School. And no, he didn't know Jeffrey Epstein. But it's interesting. So I'm just very thankful that I've been able to do it, and hopefully that it'll be out before the end of the year. And I'll also say something else, which I haven't talked about publicly. I needed someone to write the foreword, and I'm good friends with a childhood idol. His name is Will Hutchins. He played Sugarfoot on ABC TV, and he's a terrific writer, but we lost touch for a little bit of time, and I needed somebody to write forward. Tony Dow, who played Wally and Leave It to Beaver, wrote the forward.
Wow.
And Tony always wanted to do a Western, so I'm very, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm hopeful that, the book will do well, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Wow. You should sign a copy when you get it done and send one to the president.
You know...
Because we all know how much he likes to read.
If they talk about it on Fox and Friends, he'll know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you see...
Just as long as the book has some pictures in it, you know.
Wait a minute. You just gave me an idea. I hadn't thought about sending a copy to Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Bastion of literary review, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And it's about a dreamer. Call it Don't Fall in Love with a Dreamer.
Yeah, Don't Fall in Love with a Dreamer. Yeah. You know, the funny thing, it's really funny because it turned out that the TV show, of course, was based on a book, the first biography of Masterson, and Gene Barry's portrayal was extremely accurate, except they didn't deal with what happened later in his life, which is much more interesting than, you know, being a buffalo hunter and a scout and an Indian fighter and all of that stuff. I mean, for God's sakes, Masterson covered Jack Johnson's fights, you know, the first black heavyweight champion. He covered those fights. So, you know, this is all fascinating stuff to me.
Was Bat Masterson also the guy that Natalie found in bed with RJ?
No.
Why do we have to go back there?
Yeah, Al, you're going to be in radio jail soon.
Well, join my Facebook.
But I can't say this. since I know what year it was, there was a guy named Stuart Lake, who wrote the fictionalized biography of Wyatt Earp with Wyatt Earp in Hollywood in the late 20s, early 30s. And there's this guy Lake. He didn't die until the middle 70s. So hey, anything is possible. Well, you know.
There you go. We can start a new rumor conspiracy.
Get on that's what we need, Al. Yeah, right. It's more conspiracy theories and rumors.
Yeah, as long as
I like how she mentioned Mike in Canada, like he was somehow involved in that. That was.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt, Mike. Sorry.
As long as there's pizza, I'm good.
How did you choose this, and how do you choose your stories? You've written a lot of books. True crime and true history, like Garfield and stuff. What makes you select a topic and do it?
Wow, that's a great question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What makes me select a topic? You know, I've thought about that recently, believe it or not. And what makes me select a topic is, I need to have some sort of, even though journalists are not supposed to be emotionally involved, I need to have some sort of emotional involvement. There has to be something there that hits me in my gut. And, you know, I'll give you an example. There was another TV show that I watched as a kid called The Rebel, starring Nick Adams. And Nick played the part of Johnny Yuma, who was a Confederate soldier who roamed the West after the Civil War because he didn't have a place for himself. Well, when I first got an iPhone a couple of years ago, I started watching the old shows on the iPhone, and I was shocked to find out that the character was in the show journaled a lot. He wanted to be a writer. And then I read the credits. The show was co-created by Adams and realized he was a writer. So what do I do? I was curious as to, okay, they said that he died from a drug overdose in 68 and it was suicide. And I started Googling it, and I came across some article that his daughter, Allison, wrote, and she thought he was murdered. And again, I felt a certain obligation to Nick initially, because I felt like, well, if I'm watching the show as a kid, it could easily have influenced me to become a writer. And so I got friendly with Allison. We've become friends. And I got the autopsy report. I then looked up this is 50 years later, and I looked up the coroner who did it. And I the idea being to try and eliminate that it was murder. But again, the reason I decided to work on it, I'm not doing a book on this yet. She's doing a book, and I'll be part of it. But the reason I did it was because I wanted to bring her closure, and if there was a possibility that Nick was murdered, I wanted to find out who done it. So I've got to have some sort of emotional, tug to get me involved in this sort of thing. You know what I mean? It's like when I wrote Bayou Strangler. And I went down to Louisiana. I was taken to all the I've talked about this on your show before. I was taken to all the dump sites where the bodies were dumped. And one of the things that got me when I wrote the book was that people didn't care that who these victims were, because most of them were either gay or bisexual, and I'm looking in on that. Bothered the hell out of me. It still does. You know, this is the United States. Everybody should be considered the same. The last time I looked, that's what Tom Jefferson said. And so, you know, I was very, very upset about that. And when I wrote the book, I didn't even realize I was getting social commentary into it until one of the people who gave me a blurb mentioned that. I mean, I feel like one of the things that I can do is stand up for people sometimes and certainly try to find out what the truth is. So if I can do that, I mean, that's what happened when I wrote Lobster Boy. You know, the fact is everybody wanted Grady Stiles Jr., Lobster Boy, dead because he was abusive to his family. Well, I understand that, but his wife married him twice. Talk about Natalie Wood. You know, not only that, she divorces Lobster Boy and marries Midget Man. You can't make this stuff up. Okay, you know. And she marries Midget Man, and then she divorces Midget Man and remarries Lobster Boy. And then she arranges to have him killed. And all I could think about at the time was, well, he, you know, I understand he was abusive, but that doesn't mean you kill the guy. Somebody's got to speak up. And so that's how I got involved in that. And then in that one, I came up with the evidence that led to the conviction of the two killers. And, of course, I got threatened. When I asked one of the cops in the case if I needed to worry about the family coming after me, the cops asked me really straight. He goes, "Well, Fred, maybe midget man."
But you can run twice as fast because your legs are twice as long.
Yeah, but I remember exactly, and I'm remembering the film Don't Look Now, where it
oh jeez, was it?
You know,
midget man wearing a little red dress.
Yes. No, midget man was when I interviewed him in the house where Grady died. The guy was he must have had COPD or something, and he's on oxygen. And what does he do? He pulls out a cigarette and lights it. I said, "You think that's a good idea?" He goes, "Well, no, but, you know, I want to smoke, so whatever, you know."
Wow.
When I was a teenager, I played in a poker game in a place called Trump Village in Brooklyn. You may have heard of it. And it was built by his father, and Trump managed the place. And this is all facts. And I had a friend of mine who was in the game who was at black skin, and he didn't live there. He couldn't have lived there because he'd have to walk down the block to go there. And the reason he couldn't live there is because anybody who, of color, who applied to buy a condo, it was a low-income, co-op, anybody who applied, Trump had them put C for colored on the application. This is all fact.
Isn't that what they got sued for by the Justice Department?
Yes, and they paid it off. But I always think about the damage. And my friend George Hughes, I know that, you know, he would be walking down the hall. And I never saw anybody there of color. And I remember thinking at the time, why is that? This is Brooklyn. And I'm sure that all the old Jewish people were saying, oh, there goes Schwarza, you know.
Oh,
and it was very, very upsetting. You know, it was very upsetting to me. You know, I feel like what we're doing is we're dealing with stuff we've never dealt with. Mm-hmm. You know, And I guess also as we're talking about it, what I realize is that when we write books out, you know, we're not working we're not isolated. You know, whatever's happening in society affects what's happening in the stories that we write about. You know, but I got to tell you that for the fact that Masterson was involved in 7 murder cases, I probably would have been bored, okay? And if I'm bored, then the reader's going to be bored. But I loved some of the cases that he was involved with, but especially the trial of the century. You know, I mean, I actually went upstate. Upstate New York. I'm saying upstate like I'm in New York. But I went to visit my daughter, who lives in the Albany area, and then I went west to this town called Herkimer where the trial took place, and I got, Al, this was great, I got a tour of the jail cell where they kept the bad guy. And then I got in my car and I went up to you can't make this stuff up, it's true crime, Big Moose Lake. This is where the alleged murder took place. This was a guy named Chester Gillette who allegedly drowned his pregnant girlfriend because he didn't want to have a child. And I, But I had to go up there. You know, like I said, I had to see what it looked like. And I did. And it was very, 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 very interesting. You know, because it allowed me the opportunity to write about the case in an accurate way. You know, I don't have to tell you, it's great when you can describe what the killer sees, what the victim sees, what does it smell like, you know, all that stuff. See, those are the things that I need when I'm writing a book. I have to be at the scene.
Yeah. And when you were in New York doing the Trump, back then, I guess that Garfield was president or something?
Another crack about your age there, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. No, that was good.
Where do people get a hold of Fred Rosen and contact you about something?
You can go to fredrosen.net and or Facebook. A lot of people contact me on Facebook. And by the way, on the Garfield case, one of the reasons I got so involved in it was because I talked about it on the show, but I read that Alexander Graham Bell had invented the world's first metal detector to find the bullet in his body. And while I was doing that research and discovering that his doctor messed it up, and the doctor was really the guy that killed him, I got friendly with Hank Garfield, who is President Garfield's great-great-great-grandson. And he's a Boston Red Sox fan, so we bonded, you know, over that. You know, we bonded because I'm a Mets fan, so we bonded over that.
Was Garfield's great-great-great-grandson the one that they found in bed with RJ?
Oh, jeez.
No, that wouldn't have been Hank. No, not Hank. No, Hank's... No. No, you know what? That's a very good question, who it was, but I don't think it's Hank. You know,
well, you got to get on that. We need to hear the breaking news.
Well,
50-year-ago breaking news.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Well, that's more than 50, but you know what? I'll look, you know what, that's a great idea.
Yeah, get on that, Fred. Straighten right, that out I'll for us on. Right away.
Rock Hudson. Yeah.
All right.
Rock Hudson. Ooh. There you go. Raymond Burr. Okay.
You heard it here first, Raymond Burr.
Yeah. My favorite. I still watch Perry Mason.
He's buried here in Canada. Yeah, he's buried here in New West.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's yep. where he lived. That's his house is there too, right?
That's right. Yep.
Oh, I had no idea. I mean, for some reason, I never liked that show, and I don't know why. It was
Canadian.
Too formula. No, it's too formula for me. You know, I don't know. It just didn't work for me. Whatever.
They needed to throw Nancy Grace in there to be the attorney.
Be just as effective as the other guy, I'm sure.
Yeah, just you have Nancy Grace versus Perry Mason.
Oh God.
Oh, I like that.
There you go. We got a new show.
Someone's got to do a mashup on YouTube.
Yeah, Oxygen.
Ooh, Nancy Grace versus Perry Mason. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she can be arrested by Ironside. Been watching that lately.
Oh, there you go.
That show I love.
Oh, that's a great show.
I think so. I mean, you know, I thought that was a terrific show.
Especially for its time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just like anything he does. So.
Like Godzilla.
You know what? I was just going to say it. Godzilla. You know? And I think he did a Hitchcock film too. I can't remember which film it was, but I think he's in Rear Window.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yeah,
in Rear
Window. He's the bad guy in Rear Window. That's right.
Yeah,
he's
terrifying in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Hey, wait a minute. You're talking about the '70s, right? I was actually in a room at a banquet once with Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, at a banquet when I went to USC, I met a lot of people. I met Billy Wilder. I met a lot of people there. I was lucky. You know, we invited these people down for a director's conference. Peter Yates, British director.
Oh yeah.
Who directed Bullet.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy that told me that in Bullet, when McQueen drove the car down Lombard Street, he lost the brakes. The brakes were lost on the car, and Peter was in the back seat directing. He said if it hadn't been for the fact that Steve was a race car driver and knew how to downshift, we would have died.
Well, Lombard Street is that crazy street that just winds and winds and winds, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
McQueen had a weird death, too, eh? Do you remember how he died?
Who? I thought he died of lung cancer or something like that.
Yeah, he had McQueen? Cancer. But he went to Mexico and did all that.
Mexico.
He did all those weird treatments, and he died down there in the clinic.
You know, exactly. I was watching that movie, The Hunter, the other night, the last movie that he made, and it's weird because you can see his physical form change in that film. You can tell he's not well. It's a great movie. He does a great job in it, and it's really sad that, you know, that was the last thing he did, but you can see the physical change in his body if you're used to watching him on screen for years.
Yeah, he was definitely a lot smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I don't remember that. I'll have to take a look at it again. Thank you.
That's the movie that's based on the true story of Ralph Papa Thornton, the bounty hunter.
That's right.
And it's not a great movie, but it's a great movie to watch if you love Steve McQueen. It's got he's amazing humor in it, which you don't usually see a lot from him, and some fantastic stunts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A lot of humor, which you're right. I mean, James Garner did an interview once where he talked about how McQueen was a mannered actor. So anytime he put something else into it, it's noticeable. That's why you're talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. In fact, I can also tell you that when I interviewed Robert Wise for something, Bob had directed McQueen in, come on, Fred, in... It's a movie that after World War One, where McQueen is a sailor.
The Sand Pebbles?
Sand Pebbles, yes.
Yeah.
And I told him that I love the scene. There's a scene where McQueen's on the lake with a young Candy Bergen in a rowboat explaining to her why he joined the service, and he says, well, I blinded my principal in a fight, and they gave me a choice between going into the service or going to jail. And so Bob Wise says to me, you like that scene, Fred? I said, yeah. He says, I stole it. I said, what? He says, I stole it. It's the same scene from Here to Eternity where Monty Clift explains to Donna Reed why he got in the service. He looks at me and he says, Fred, always steal from the best.
Well, on that note, we have to call it quits. It's the end of the show, and we always appreciate Fred coming by and entertaining us for the hour. And Fred calls Candice Bergen candy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, candy. Yeah. Well,
thanks a lot, Fred.
Yeah, thank you. We'll make sure to steal from you.
Please. Okay.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.